All right, Proverbs 23. We've been spending the last few Sunday nights just kind of, it's really just kind of character things, I suppose, or just instruction. We preached about I'm the clay. Last week we preached on the price of ignorance. And so this week let's look at this. It's the hardening of the clay. Proverbs 23, verses 19 through 25. Bible says this, hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth, and sell it not. Also wisdom, and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. Now that's a happy ending, and that's the way it's supposed to be, and that's what the Word of God says it will be if you just go in the right way. And that's what we want to talk about here tonight. Let me read another verse, and you may not understand the connection here, but I'll try to make it here as quick as I can. Mark chapter 3 and verse 5, and when he had looked round about on them with anger, that's Jesus, looking around about him at those people, those unbelievers who were against what he was about to do, he looked on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, and he saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. We read that just the other day. And I said, you know, there. Look, Jesus did a miracle, healed a man while he was angry. Yeah, he did. The point and the connection in here, though, is the hardness of their hearts. That's why they were that way. That's what made Jesus angry with them, was the hardness of their hearts. Isaiah 64 and verse 8, Bible said, but now, O Lord, thou art our Father, we are the clay, thou art and thou our potter, and we all are the work of thy hand. So, all right, let's pray. Father, thank you for the songs, and thank you for the good Lord's day that we've enjoyed today. Please bless the Word of God now to our hearts, and give us the understanding, we pray through your Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we come into this world pliable and soft. You know, these children, they're so teachable when they're young.
Yes, sir.
One reason they're teachable is because they just believe you and they trust you. And we talked about this a few weeks ago. You know, the children just believe what you say to them. So don't lie to them.
Yes,
don't joke with them.
Yes, sir.
Don't make light of things and jokey things with them, because they believe it. Don't tease them. Tell them the truth. That's the first step in getting them on the right way. That's what we're talking about here tonight. And making them where they'll be pliable later on. We come into the world pliable and soft, but it's a sad thing that soft, pliable heart and mind of a child grows hard and unpliable. Mm-hmm. It does. That's the tragedy of life. If you could look at these little ones now and realize that in just a few short years, they're going to be completely different than what you have right now to work with. You know, the five-year-old, yeah, if they get out of line, you can just spank their bottom and straighten them out. When they're 15, you don't do that. And, you know, you have to chasten your son while there is hope, because there's not always hope. That word really means a cord. If you study that out, that means while you have a hold of their heart and while you have some influence, you need to do it then.
Yes.
You need to do all you're going to do. And you know, I've learned that through life, and I've tried to teach my kids to understand that. You just have a few short years here, and you better do it now, now, now. Don't think you can straighten things out later, because your influence and your power to change anything and to guide them at all diminishes as the years pass. unless you have a real hold on their heart. And you and that's a challenge right there. So it happens, their heart, their little soft and pliable heart and mind gets hard, and it happens through the process of life and learning. And it happens through the influence of others. Young parents need to have the knowledge and understanding that they're not the only influence on their children. Now, we try to be separate from the world, and we try to protect our children from the evil influences of the world, but I'm telling you, you need to consider this part of the spiritual warfare that we've been talking about, because that's exactly what it is. The devil is after them from the time they're born. And he has ways to get to them that you don't even know about. And that's the truth. Man, I've seen little children come up with things that I know they didn't get it from mom and dad. Where did they get it? You know, a lot of them don't watch TV, they don't go places, they're not around other people, and they still got that idea in their head. It's the devil. I mean, you better realize that you're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but you're wrestling against powers, you know, that are evil. It happens because selfishness is our guide, and that selfishness is indulged by almost everyone until we become a nuisance to them. And I'm talking about little children. And, you know, that's where we need to be more disciplined in ourselves with the children. Instead of indulging them in everything, we need to deny ourselves sometimes, because they need to be denied. And the biggest thing they need to learn is to deny self. They need to learn what no means. Yes. And it doesn't have to have a reason, and you don't have to explain to them a reason or give them a reason. They just need to sometimes not get what they want.
Exactly. Yes, sir.
It's the ruination of their soul. And the ruination of our life too, because they're not going to grow up and be a blessing like we read here in the verse. She that bare these shall rejoice, not when they turn into what we see nowadays. See, the children, I was reading this article the other day, and I read it to her last night, but it was about children and what's wrong. The world even recognizes that it's a crisis going on. Children, they're saying 1 out of 5 children have mental problems. You know, and it's all because of a lot of things. You can't pin it on one thing. It's this world we're living in, and all this, you know, digitally distracted parents and being overindulged and overgifted with material things and just spoiled is the word that we used to always understand that meant. Child that's never said no to, that gets anything he wants. It's not good for them. So that's why that a heart gets hard. You understand? That's why a heart gets hard. Self is what makes that heart. Selfishness. Indulging self. Building up self. Everybody's worried about children and having self-esteem and all of that. And all the best things that happened to all of us, older people, in life was being put down. Being denied. Having to suffer things. How many of you ever got a whooping for something you did not do? Look at that. Can't you believe that? Maddie's in here making sure I see her hand too.
Put your hand.
But it's the truth. We've all suffered that. But it didn't ruin me. It didn't make me a bitter. It didn't turn me into a criminal and a murderer and a God hater. Because I got that whooping that time when I was a kid. And that's what I see nowadays in this generation. You know, they're delusional about their raising.
Yes.
They really are.
Yes, they are.
They've lived in fantasy and imagination till they think that what happened to them when they were kids was just some outlandish nightmare that everybody needs to know about. And they should have been born 50 years earlier.
Yes.
Yeah, boy. As soon as we awaken to our existence, we begin to seek our way. That's what these children are doing. You know, it's a journey, and it's as if we have some kind of instrument in us that's looking for a guiding beam to follow. I mean, we're searching for our way. As soon as we become conscious of the world around us, and we can communicate and we can understand ideas and thoughts from other people and everything, we start trying to figure out which way we're going to go. These little children here are already doing that. They're considering everything you tell them, I tell them, everything that they hear from other people also. They're considering it all. And they're coming to a point where they're going to choose one way or the other. Mm-hmm. Yep. That's right. A child devours knowledge faster in his first years than any other time in his life. He wants to know everything. They're just ravenous to know about everything. That's why they're into everything. Yes. As soon as they can crawl, they're into everything. Is that right, Esther? Amen. Is that right, Elizabeth? Wherever she is. Yeah, she's hiding back here in the car. There she is. That's why they do that. You know, you can punish them, you can do all this stuff, but it doesn't stop them, does it? No. You can teach them how to stay out of certain things, leave certain things alone, but it's that drive that's in them to know this world around them. And it changes from things to principles and ideas and thoughts. And, you know, as they, you know, when they're just a tiny little infant, boy, their world's real small. But it starts getting bigger and bigger and bigger as they develop in their physical body where they can move around and become mobile. And then when they begin to be able to communicate with talk and language, then it expands on out into what's unseen. They start looking for ideas and pondering ideas and thoughts and theories like we talked about this morning that other people put in their minds. And from things they see on TV shows and everything else. That's why I'm always so death on Disney and all of that stuff. Because that's what they're about, is putting these warped ideas into children's minds while they're susceptible to it. They're the enemy that's sowing the tares while you are asleep. While you're not paying attention, while you don't know what's going on, that's what's happening. Children see things in those cartoons and everything that you don't see. You know, in the last years, we've noticed some things. I mean, have you ever watched those old Bugs Bunny cartoons? You thought those were innocent and all of that. Did you ever notice some of the pictures on the wall? They've got pictures of naked women on the walls in Bugs Bunny cartoons in the background. Bet you didn't see that, but I'll bet you the kids did. It's just stuff like that, see, that we're not careful with enough. A child's looking. Raymond's glasses came apart back there a while ago. You know how tiny those little screws are? And fell into that carpet back there. Well, we got my light, and we looked, couldn't find it, and we all looked. And Maddie found it without the light. Found that tiny little screw. I've noticed these other little children all my life since we've had children. I notice how they see things that I don't see. Yes, sir. I sure do. They notice the tiniest things, the most insignificant things. Seth and David, when they were kids, I mean, they noticed a truck. They knew the hubcaps. They saw things I didn't see. I mean, I know I could always tell what kind of truck and car was what and all that, but I mean, I never paid that close attention. But, you know, Dad, that one that had them hubcaps, that does... No, they're just seeing what you're not seeing. That's my point. We've got to shake ourselves and engage here in this part of the battle, because this is most important. Can't lose the children, not this generation. We just can't do it. Got to keep them. Got to keep the devil from getting them. A child devours knowledge. He wants to know everything. He has an enormous appetite and an enormous amount to learn. He has to learn language. Think of what a massive thing that is. You don't really know until you try to learn another language after you're grown. You don't know what an overwhelming task that is. It's something else. And a child learns in his first two, to 3 years. Some of them earlier than that. Ashley started talking, she's 14 months old.
Yes.
She did. And you know, that's just a big thing. And so they have all that to learn. Not only all the words, they learn colors. They learn every animal and object in the world by sight. They learn that in the first couple of years of their life, they learn most of that stuff right there.
Yes, sir.
Phoebe was at the house the other day counting to 10. What is she?
She's not even 2. She'll be 2 in October.
Well, I know, but I mean, how many months? Well, 22 months, something like that. 20 months. You know, they say their colors. They can tell you what kind of animal it is. It's a dog. It's a cat. It's a cow. And they've just devoured that knowledge. How? Mostly, now the first child gets a lot of attention, and you just drill them and drill them and drill them, and the more children that come along, the more they just get it on their own. And they get it by watching and listening.
Yes.
And you're not paying attention how they're watching and listening. I don't know how many times that I've noticed they know something that I didn't tell them, and their mama didn't tell them, but they heard it somewhere. And if I think enough, I can figure out where they heard it or seen it. And I remember, you know, I wasn't paying attention. I didn't even realize they were watching, listening. You know, these little kids, and Mike and Amy was at the house the other night, and Anna was in the kitchen. Terry told me later, said they were, Anna and Amy and Teresa were in the kitchen. Me and Mike were in the living room talking, and Anna was listening to everything. I've noticed that about all the kids, all of our grandkids. I've noticed all of our grandkids are that way. They can multitask. They can listen to everything that's going on in the house at one time. They're aware of what's going on in the living room when they're all the way back in the dining room.
Yes.
So they are, yeah. That's why we always call Seth when he was a kid, because he was exceptional about that. We called him parabolica ears, a satellite dish. So he had ears like a satellite dish because he could hear everything. We couldn't hide nothing from him. We got to spelling words, you know, and then he started kindergarten, and it wasn't long till we'd spell it, and he'd sit there and go, S, and he'd spell it out, and he'd understand. So we had to quit that. But I'm just trying to get you to see how children are so ravenous and how much they're learning and taking in. And while we go about our busy lives and we're occupied with all of our cares and all of our duties and all of our busyness, man, the devil is going to be in it if we're not, on top of it. It's got to be the most important thing. You guys that are raising these little children right now, that's the most important business of your life right now. You better focus on it now. It's just a short little part of your life, a short little period that you've got to do what you're going to do. And you can't do it without God's help and without God's wisdom and God's understanding and guidance. You need the Spirit of God to keep you alert. You better pray.
Yes, sir.
Lord, help me. Show me. Don't let the devil slip one over on me with my children.
Yes.
Oh. So his mind is drinking in everything he sees, hears, tastes, smells, touches. Not only that, but his mind is cataloging every word and action of other people.
Yes.
Attitudes, habits, mannerisms, and the way other people respond to everything. That's why it's so easy to tell when there's trouble in the home by you. All you got to do is just watch the children. They tell everything. They don't tell it with their words. They tell it with their actions. They know. I mean, the attitudes, the spirit, everything affects them greatly and changes their behavior. And so they're drinking in more than just things. It's also what they're learning about how to be from the people that are around them. And it's not just what you tell them and teach them. It's what you are before.
That's right.
Example is the strongest influence.
Yes,
no matter what you say, your walk talks louder than your talk talks. It's what you are is what they pay the most attention to. It's what they're going to absorb the most is what you are, not what you say. Now, if you are right and you talk right, then you got a you got a strong hope for your children. But if one or the other is not there, then you got real trouble. You're in real danger. I'm talking about if you're not living what you say, or if you're saying it and not living it, it's got to be both. So not only that, but with all this knowledge accumulating, and he automatically begins to put it in an order of in his mind. That's what a child does. He begins to develop a view of life and of the world and of other people. He begins to put things together and develop his own understanding and view of everything. And the world encourages that to the max. You know, everybody's unique and everybody's their own person. And it's like I preached on critical thinking here a while back. You know, everybody encourages you to think for yourself. Well, now, I understand the positive aspect of that, but it's also, I preached hard against it. Because you're to have the mind of Christ.
Yes, sir.
And we're not to... You teach your children that, they're going to reject you also and your thoughts and ideas too, because they're their own God. They got a right, and you taught them so, to develop their own view of everything.
That's right.
And so they are God. That's the way they grow up feeling. But he puts things together, child. And it's like he's putting this giant jigsaw puzzle together. And every new bit of information he gets, he tries to find a place where it fits with everything that he's already found out and put together. It's like putting... That's what they're doing. And you know how it is with those puzzles, which I hate them things. But the more you get done... The picture starts to become in view. And the more you get together, the easier it is to find the place where these pieces go. Mm-hmm. That's the way it is with a child and their development. I mean, the longer it goes, the faster the pace picks up. And the sooner it's going to be that they have their own fixed view of everything. Opinion, concepts that we talked about in our mind. Set in concrete. That's what I believe. You're not going to change my mind. Hardened.
Yes.
Hardened. A hardened heart is an unteachable heart. A heart that has stopped receiving anything except what fits in their view of everything. That's a hardened heart. Now there are basically two different guides for the child. There's God's ways, or there's the selfish, sinful ways that the world embraces. Now, hopefully there'll be someone in his life, in the life of a child, who'll teach him the ways of God and show him God's ways and God's will and all this knowledge that he so quickly obtains. But you know what the sad thing is? It ought to make us weep and cry. Is that most children being born now, or that is not true at all. They have no one in their life. They grow up in this ungodly world full of evil with no one to pray for them, no one to guide them, no one to tell them about God. They grow up without parents who, you know how it is, all this immorality. 40 some years ago, when we'd run bus routes up there in Piedmont, you know, we'd have 60, normally we'd have 50-60 kids on there. And I remember at the time counting up and thinking about them, because we'd visit every week and all of that. And we only had like three or four families on the bus that had mom and dad. They all had the same name. A family. The rest of them were just, it was just, they didn't know, some of them didn't know who their dad was. Never seen him. Mom had three or four or five husbands, dad same way, and it was just, a mess. That is 40-some years ago. And what do you reckon it's like now? Much worse, much worse. And so it's a sad thing. You look at all these kids out here. You ought to pity them, and you ought to have compassion on them like Jesus had on the multitudes, because they are as sheep without a shepherd. I mean, they have had no instruction. They've had no kind of help, no kind of guidance in their life except what all the world is God. There's also the world he lives in. If he's got godly influences, that's wonderful. Most of them don't. But even the ones who have godly influence also have the world that he lives in that's an influence. And it can't be completely sheltered from. No matter, you know, the influence of the world is going to be overwhelming, even under the most watchful care of godly parents. You better believe that. It's everywhere. You take them to the store, they see it everywhere. As soon as they can read, they read it everywhere. I mean, you just cannot shelter them from this world altogether. At the best you can do, it's still going to be drawing on them. It's still going to be catching their eye. It's still going to be enticing them. It's still going to be challenging them about what you've taught them. Now, he's a selfish creature. We all understand that, don't we? The children, basically, that's the problem. That's what leads to sin, is selfishness.
Yep.
And so one of these guides demands denial of self, while the other demands the right to self in everything. Well, we know what the world, which side the world takes there, don't we? Your own heart will side against you in this. You want what you want. You got a right to everything. In that article I mentioned a while ago, that was one of the things that children nowadays are growing up with, the idea that they have a right to everything.
Yeah, that's right.
They have a right to be happy. They have a right to have everything. It's owed to them.
Entitled.
Yes, entitled. We read there this morning, we did in our reading about Jesus, where he said that He called them hypocrites, and he said, "You say that the Bible says, God said, honor thy father and thy mother, but you say, you know, that it's Corban,
which is a gift.
In other words, you owe me. Honor your father and mother. Now, don't worry about that. They owe me because they brought me into this world. And if I do anything for them, or if their life is improved any at all because of me, then I just... a gift." Yeah. That's the way the religious Pharisees saw it. Jesus said, "You're a bunch of hypocrites." So, for the child that has godly influences in his life and has been taught the right way, he'll now face this dilemma. See, my way, the most popular way, the way most everyone else is going, or God's way, which requires that I deny myself. Now, you see what the dilemma is for the child? You see where he's coming to in his life? You see what he's going to face eventually? Somewhere down the road, he's going to make that choice. You know, we've called it the age of accountability all through the years. But there is a point in your life where you make up your mind. I really believe that. You make up your mind to deny God and turn away from Him, or to deny the world and self and turn to God.
Yeah.
Now, the one way is narrow and the gate's straight, and the other way is broad. And Jesus said many, which means most, go that way. The road to destruction. The road to self-pleasing. The road to being popular and just conforming to everybody else. Because there's so many go that way, that's what most people do. And the pressure is on the children to go that way. From the time they're pretty small, they start feeling the tug. They feel the pressure. They feel that influence. And they're looking at you as their parent and wondering if you're really telling them the truth, or if you're just doing this for your own selfish interests. If you're trying to just hang on to me and use me for your own, that's what the devil's going to tell them. You're just using me for your own benefit. You just want to keep me locked up in a cage. That's the ideas they get in their mind against you. You better prepare for that, because that's exactly what the devil's going to make sure that they start thinking in their mind. So from the time they're very little, you better drill it into their soul that you're watching for their soul, and that you love them, and that you want what's best for them, and that you're going to do your best to give them a good life, make sure their life is good. He begins to struggle to marry these two ways together somehow, so he can have both worlds at the same time. Now that's the way it works. The guilt and the pressure of it makes him not turn away quickly from God. It takes a while to get hardened enough to where you just absolutely say, that's it. I'm not going that way. I'll not have nothing to do with God. It takes a while to get to that point. So they try to figure out how they can have it both ways. Do you remember in your life when you tried to do that? I do. I remember struggling with that, thinking, now, you know, I just believe there's a way to be right with God and not be so strict. I remember that. Had quite a struggle with that for a while. Suffered some things because of it, really bad. But I finally figured out, can't do that. It's either God or the world.
That's right.
I had to make my choice. Come to that crisis point in my life. And I had to turn away from God for good, or I had to surrender. Had to turn away from the world for good. Yeah. You remember that in your life? He'll either, you know, in a world that's lost, where the salt's lost its savor, it's not easy to continue in this state where you're trying to get the two together. He'll either throw off God and his ways completely, or he'll throw off the world and he'll live for God. But in an apostate and idolatrous time such as we live in now, it's much easier to pretend to be religious while indulging and embracing the world and immorality at the same time. It's easy. Nowadays, the world has made it easy to be religious and immoral and ungodly at the same time. Yes. Everybody pat you on the back, call you brother, you're good. Better realize that. They've got a place to go.
Yes.
They've got a door. They've got a welcome sign. I mean, they've got people that are luring them and enticing them and offering them a way out of what you're trying to teach them. You better remember that.
Right.
And you better be aware that that is always available to them. And when they get older, when they're little, like I said, you can keep them. I mean, you can just put a leash on them if you want to. But when they get older, you're not going to do that. So, the Lord must be our guide. Not other people and not our own opinions. And this is where we have to get to with the children. Somehow, some way, we have to transfer their attention to the Lord instead of to us.
Yes.
We can't be their guide all their life.
Right.
Only when they're small for a few years are we their real guide. And at some point, early on, earlier than we think, they're going to, the reins are going to go to somebody else. Now, you want them to go to God.
Yes, sir.
You don't want them to go to the world.
Yeah.
And worldly people and the devil.
Mm-hmm.
So, the Lord must be our guide. Micah chapter 7 and verse 5 through 7 says this, "Trust ye not in a friend. Put ye not confidence in a guide. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. For the son dishonoreth the father, the daughter riseth up against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. Therefore I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me." Now, if you listen to that, surely you can see how that connects and explains all that I've just said here. Don't trust in men, not even in princes. The best men. We can't do that. Our children need more than our guidance also, because we don't get it right all the time. That's right. That's why y'all raised your hand and said, "I got a whooping when I didn't deserve it." Those parents sometimes, I remember lots of times, the kids would be all, everything being an uproar, and somebody did something and nobody would say who, and I said, "All right, I'm going to whoop you all. That's what I'm going to do." And remember that, kids?
Yeah.
And then you've grown up and you've had kids and you've done the same thing, haven't you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you will if you haven't yet. If you have enough kids. But parents don't always get it right. And let me tell you something, the older they get, the harder it's going to be for you to get it right. When they're little and you come in and there's something spilt on the floor like that picture you sent me today, Esther, that means how easy to figure out who did what. It's not complicated, but it gets complicated. Sure does. They learn how to manipulate. They learn how to deceive. They learn how to make it look as good as they can for themselves and as bad as they can for somebody else. Sibling. So, he's a selfish creature. Now, let me read another verse here. Psalm 25, verse 9. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. The Lord must be our guide, and the Lord must be the guide of our children. That's our goal in raising children, is to get them to the point where the Lord takes over as their guide, and they're submitted to God. Mm-hmm. Psalm 32, verse 8 and 9. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. This is God speaking. I will guide thee with mine eye. I like that. I'll guide thee with mine eye. Well, you got to be looking at him to know, yes, to be guided by his eye. You got to have your eye on the Lord to know what he's telling you to do. Mm-hmm. You know, if I look at you and I go, what are you going to do? Better go over there. That's right. That's what he means. He'll keep you from trouble with his eye. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Don't be like a horse or a mule. That's what God said. If I said that to you, that'd sound ugly, wouldn't it? But God said that right here. Don't act like an animal. You're a human being, made in the image and likeness of God. You have a soul. You have understanding. So look to God, and he'll guide you. And he doesn't have to put bits in your mouth and a bridle on you. And he doesn't have to whip you. That's not how God guides us. A lot of people think that. They think God guides us by just beating us into, you know, whipping us like a horse. No, that's not how it is. Nope. So we got to come to the point, to a point in our life where God himself becomes our guide in all things. This is where the children have to come to. If you as a parent haven't come to that, then you're going to have a hard time getting your children to come to that.
Right.
Otherwise, we are following after others. Or we're following after the imagination of our own hearts. That's why I stay on you so much about listening to the world and these wise men of the world. They're going to lead you astray.
Yes, sir.
You need to listen to God. Read your Bible. Study the Bible. That's more than you got time for the rest of your life. You cannot exhaust it. You can't learn all that's there. It's infinite. It's a full-time thing if you would just do that and quit listening to this world. They'll be your guide. They're either your guide or God's your guide. And if you're listening to them, they're your guide, not God. You can't listen to them all the time, just throw in a little God every once in a while. That's not the way it works. Parents can and should instruct and discipline and correct their children and teach them what's right and wrong. That's absolutely our duty and a must. But it'll all be of little avail unless the child is taught to look to God himself for instruction in life. The best way to do that is by example, as I said a while ago. Example is the strongest influence. And the one thing that will make a profound difference in a life, in the life of a child, is being under the influence of someone who does live their life according to God's ways and has God as his guide. If you, as a parent, live that way, That is the most effective thing that's going to affect the life of your children. It will. They'll never forget. Now, you can't fake it. And you can't play around at it. You can't be inconsistent about it. You can't be stop and starting and wishy-washy about it. It has to be absolutely the way you are. You look to God. You pray to God. You trust God. And they see you doing that. They see you doing that through life. I know families who have been a terrible mess. Where, like, I can think of a family where the mother was a mess. She had mental problems. I mean, she was really a mess. And the children grew up in that. The dad was, you know, he saved his children by being what I just said. He just cast it all on God and trusted God in every situation, in every circumstance, in every calamity that they went through all of their life. Those children will testify today that it was Him. It's what they saw in Him. Life was pretty bad at home. Life was not what it was supposed to be. And Mom was a mess. But Dad showed us what it was to lean on the grace of God. And how God would answer prayer. And how God would take care of the situation. You see? It's most important. Most important. So a person who's simply religious won't suffice. But in fact, he'll be a negative influence. And he'll do more to cause the child to follow the world than God. You see? Rather than God. You understand what I'm saying? A person who's not real in this area, they'll do more to cause the child to follow the world. Parents should seek to keep the children under the influence of such godly people and do their best to minimize the influence of worldly, ungodly people. We never let our children, I mean, we were very strict about who they went and... Well, the younger children just didn't go somewhere and spend the night. We just didn't do that. You shouldn't either. I'm telling you. You better stay a watch over your children. So many things through the years when I did let them go. What do we got here? Ants in here now?
Yeah.
When we did let them go, there was times when we found out that people showed up. Things happened that we didn't plan on at all, didn't anticipate, didn't foresee, see? And it turned out bad, caused damage. I'm just warning you about some very basic things here. I'm trying to encourage you to get on board here and wake up and realize every day counts, every moment counts.
Yes.
Every time you go somewhere, every time you're around other people, your children, the people who influence your children, you better do all you can to make sure they are godly people and not ungodly people. You know, these ungodly people, they can act nice sometimes and they can act like they really care and they can act like that they wouldn't do a thing to harm your children. But, buddy, I can tell you some stories about some people like that that curl your hair. As soon as they get alone with the child or get an opportunity, say things to them that, you know. And I'm not talking about, you know, what you're thinking. I'm talking about just planting ideas in their mind against what you have taught them and what you believe.
Yes.
People, you wouldn't think so. We've had close relatives try to tell our kids, you know, that what we're teaching them was wrong and they shouldn't have to do it. How you feel about that? You like somebody doing that to your children? No, that'd make you very, just like it did me, it'd make you angry.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
And with justification.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, better just beware of that. All right. Parents should often set examples before their children of people who've gone the wrong way. And show them what has become of their lives. You ought to do that. You got plenty. I mean, if you stay in church, you've been in church all your life, I've seen so many shipwrecks that I can't even count them. And you ought to point them out to your children. When you see somebody turning, you ought to point it out to your children and say, "Now, see, I want you to watch what's happening here. They're going the wrong way. They're turning to the world.
Yes.
You watch what happens to them. Get your children to see it. See the whole process. Point it out to them. You ought to set examples before your children of people who have followed God and lived according to the Word of God and how it's blessed their life and their family. There's things we did with these younger children, especially. But, you know, like we had this, we called it the missionary book. We read that. It was about John Patton. It was a big, thick book, and it was just such a mercy. It was such an impact on all of us. But the children remember that. Somebody who lived their life like that, who went through all of that, they need to know that there are people who serve God no matter what the cost, at great cost,
yes,
who stay faithful, who don't quit, who don't waffle, who do not go back to the world and become ungodly. They need to know that this deal is real.
Yes.
And there are examples for them to look at. Make sure they see examples of both sides.
Yes.
If you go this way, son. If you go that way, daughter. That's what happens every time. It's the way of destruction.
Yes.
Here's the way of life. Look at all these examples. We're in Hebrews 11. That's where we've got a whole chapter full of examples of people who finished their course.
Mm-hmm.
Who stayed faithful. You can find them in the Word of God also. In spite of the best upbringing and instruction, it is still up to each individual to yield their heart and life to God and follow Him. Gotta realize that you can't make the decision for them. You can't force them. You can't... all you can do, you get their name written on the church roll. You can impress them and pressure them to do this. I've been around people all my life that pressured children. And some of the worst messes that I know of right now, we've got some in our own family, are people who supposedly got saved as 3 or 4 years old in the bathtub and grandma and everybody else has just impressed it on them all their life. Now, you got saved. You can't talk them out of it for nothing. They're ungodly, wicked people, but you can't convince them they're not saved. Child's got to make up his mind on his own. Many children have been raised right by godly parents and have gone astray and shipwrecked their lives. They've got to make up their own mind, just like you did. There's got to be a point in their life where they choose to live for God.
Yes, sir. That's right.
They choose the road. Choose ye this day whom ye will serve. It comes to that. But God, even those who shipwreck their lives, God's ever merciful and still makes Himself available to them in the wreckage of their life. That's their own doing. Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 26. Hang on, we're about done. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. See, that's what we've just been talking about, that hard heart, see?
Yes, sir.
The clay is good when it's new and fresh, but it hardens. But even after it's hardened, God says this. He can do this. He can save to the uttermost them that come to Him. Take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, a soft heart. If you allow yourself to be deceived and guided by the ways of the worldly, ungodly people, you will eventually, certainly, find yourself at the end of your rope someday. I'm going to read a passage here in Proverbs chapter 2, but just listen to it, and then we'll be done just real quickly. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, that's what we've been talking about. That's what we want our children to have. That's what we're shooting for here. Discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee. To deliver thee from the way of the evil man, and from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness. You talked about that this morning, Gary. He that walketh uprightly, they left the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths. Froward means perverted, crooked. That's what it means. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsake the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. See what we've been talking about? You can teach your children, and the world's going to talk them out of it if you're not very, very careful and watchful and prayerful. And if you don't make this a spiritual battle. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again. Stop right there. You hear what the Bible said? None that go unto her return again. Neither take they hold of the paths of life. That's what we're talking about. You want your children to take hold of the paths of life,
yes,
not the paths of death. That thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. You can cheer yourself up with God's word. There's a lot of promises in God's word that say that right there. The wicked are in the high places right now. This is their hour and the power of darkness, but it's short lived, and it's not their doom is certain, as sure as there's a God in heaven. So why not just start seeking God and His will for your life from now on? You do that by reading His book and letting Him correct and instruct your heart. Your heart has to be teachable. Don't do you no good to read the Bible with a hard heart that's unteachable. If you're unmoldable, if you're hardened, you won't listen. You can't be corrected. You can't be straightened out. Not going to do you any good. You read the Bible and let Him instruct your heart. You do that by seeking to know His will. Many of you really want to know the will of God. I mean, you really, really want to know what God wants for your life.
Yes, sir.
And then you have to cease to argue and rebel against Him. You got to seek to know His will, and then you got to stop rebelling, resisting. I remember the moment when that happened in my soul, because I was resisting and I was fighting and arguing and contending with the truth that I had heard and what the Bible said. And it came to a point when I realized, I remember when the Holy Ghost said to my soul, "Thou fool." I do. Oh, my soul. Now, you could have said that to me and I'd have got mad at you. If I'd have went to church and the preacher had said, "You're a fool," I'd have been mad at him. But when the Spirit of God, when you're alone, it says, "You are a fool." That's about all it took right there. I said, "I am. That is a fact. I'm a fool." And when you do that, when you get to that point, and see, your child has to get to that point somewhere.
Yes, sir.
Guide them in that direction to the point where God can speak to their heart like that.
Yes.
He'll treat you well, and He'll bless your life. He has me. It hasn't been all easy. Oh my, hadn't been very much of it easy at all since that moment. But I'm telling you that even in your troubles, you'll find a refuge and a comfort and a hope. One thing I've always found since that moment, I've found out this: there is always a way. God always makes a way. That's what I tell people. You know, all this suicide and everything, there's always a way. You better believe that. There's always a way forward. Even if you're at the Red Sea in a canyon and Pharaoh's behind you and the sea's in front of you, there's still a way. Don't look like it. You'll find a lot of places in your life where it don't look like there's any way to go on. But there is. There will be a way. That's the way it is. God leads His dear children along if they'll follow. Got to teach them to follow God. How you do it? By example. That's the most important thing. You know, we can make all kinds of mistakes, but if that is the fact of our life, that we do seek after God and seek to do His will, to know His will and to do it, children will see that. They will. They can forgive you your mistakes. They can understand if you'll just be real in that area of your life. If God is big enough in your life, He'll have control of you. All of your mouth, of your heart, your mind, your feelings, your moods. God will have control of all that. And the children will see it. And if He doesn't, believe me, they'll be keen to see that, and the devil will make sure that they see it. And that it drowns out everything else that you say. And that everybody else says. Amen. Well, that's just some practical stuff from the other end of the journey. See, I've raised my children. They're grown. So, you know, I've got a right. I've got the experience. I've got the authority. I've made the mistakes. I've learned from them. And you better listen to me. What I'm telling you here tonight from the Word of God. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It's nothing more than just to try to help you. You know, if I could help you to not suffer some of the things I've suffered, if I could help you to avoid some of the pitfalls and mistakes, you wouldn't have to suffer the loss I've suffered. Take heed. Take heed how you hear. Go home and do something about it. Be diligent. Be vigilant for your adversary, the devil. Go with that. Don't you think that he's not got his eyes on these children? Don't you think that the world doesn't have their eyes on your children? Don't think that even some of your family don't have their eyes on your children to try their best to sideline and derail everything you've taught. It don't take much. Now let me tell you. You know, I'll shut up here, but I just keep, you know, there's just other things need to be said. You know, if you have you have family that's living ungodly, you better stay away from them. You don't want their influence in your family, on your children. Some of our problems came from that. Right there. Yeah, and we didn't do it much. No, sir. You know, the family quit inviting me. When I got saved, they quit inviting me to family reunions and weddings and everything else. Because they didn't want me there in the first place. And I didn't want to be there in the second place. But still, you know, you may be able to tolerate them and all their ungodliness, but your children won't. They'll get your children.
Yes, they will.
The children will always know there's a place to run. David's son, Absalom, where did he go?
To grandpa.
He went to his grandpa. That's where he went. His heathen grandpa, his mother's father, ran to him. When he was in trouble at home, when he killed his brother, when he was in big trouble and at outs with his father, he ran to his grandfather. I give you some more examples in the Bible, the same thing. It's there. Take heed. You better off stay. The children are too important. Their souls are too important. Keep the right influence over them. Amen. Father, thank you for the true Word of God. Please bless all this to our hearts and minds. Help these young families who are trying to raise children in such an ungodly generation. Oh, the battle's on. And Lord, the danger is ever present. Please help them. Lord, give them wisdom. Give them understanding in all this matter. Give them eyes to see and ears to hear. And Lord, help their mind to be focused on this most important task. Lord, we just can't lose these children. We just can't lose them. Lord, we need them. this hour, they must not go to the devil. Please help us to be mindful of our own selves. If we walk with God, and we truly do, that's the best way we can influence them to follow our example. Help us to be better than the last generation who did their best but missed some things. And Lord, I know that we will miss them too if we're not leaning hard on Thee. Please help them. Please give us a safe trip here home, and I pray You'd help us through the week here working hearts and lives. Meet the needs of these we pray for. And help us all to have a burden, have a duty to pray for these children here and their parents. Lord, if we would be serious about that, that would make a big difference also. Help us all to love each other and pray for one another in all the troubles and problems of life. And help us to edify one another and encourage one another all we can. In Jesus' name, amen.